Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome along to the Wise Words Here podcast. We are in These Things Happen, and we're on the coast at Roker. We've been here before, so I'm sure you know all about it. Thomas Butler did just drop us in it ruthlessly. It's a bit harsh. He had to go back home, that's fine. But we've got a replacement who we'll introduce in a moment, okay? So we're just going to have a big crack. We've been thinking about doing this for a while. Just having a bit of a social every now and again, where we're just going to just chat about Sunderland and encourage you to come up and join us and have yours here and open it out to everybody. So we'll see how that goes. Before we start, anybody who's followed Sunderland over the last 20, 30, 40 years might have known Tom Lynn at some point. So we just want to acknowledge Tom, who was a regular on the pod, particularly in the first 5 years or so when we started. A regular guest. It doesn't really need much introduction if you're from the Northeast and you go to the matches home and away. Everybody knows who Tom is. A bit of an influencer in terms of fan media and what he's done for that particular niche market. So we just want to acknowledge him first. Formally, myself and Matt knew him very well.
Yeah, I think Tom, for me, was like a massive influence and is probably to blame, really, for why I do this. So obviously devastated to hear of his passing yesterday. So we'd all raise a glass to him, really, I think, to Tom. To Tom Lynn, really. And I think very sad, and he will very much be missed in the Sunderland circles. And also, to be fair, there's a lot of tributes from Newcastle fans and fanzines, so I think that shows how much of a influence he was in the football scene. So
whatever you're listening to this now, or if you're not going to have a drink before the next match, do that then. Or if you're here now, can you please just all raise a glass of Tom Lynn, and we'll do that. Thank you, everybody. Right, as we said earlier, Thomas Butler was going to be here, and this is his local, or one of his locals, so he's in regularly, and great lad, and some good stories, and he is going to do that, but he had to go back home. That's the way it is, and there's not loads of ex-Sunderland players who live in the area now, and if you're going to rack your brains out to think, right, we can't really pay you for something like this as much. Are you happy to just come and get pissed and have a few drinks? Lee Howie tends to be the person who pops into your mind first, and of course he agreed to do it. So please just acknowledge Lee Howie being here first of all.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's nice to be here. It's the first time here. It's better than Gareth's dining room when the last time I did it.
I've done my dining room out actually recently. I'll show you some pictures later.
Yeah, and I did get occasional cans, which was nice, but thanks very much for inviting me.
You're an easy booking though, aren't you, Lee?
I'm close, I'm local, and I always like a pint.
Yeah, it's like your offer just starts at the top, and it depends who he's with. If you're doing an event and there's others there and you've got to pay them all, but it goes down and down. Lee, can you just come and talk to us and we'll just buy you a couple of pints, and he does it, which is great to be fair, because that's what he's all about, so we'll take it from there. We haven't really got any sort of agenda because we've never done this before, and usually we would just be talking about the upcoming game, but some of the players are so shit at the minute. Do you want to sit and hear us talk about Cardiff for an hour? Probably not. Not when Lee's here, so we'll see how we go. Have you? Who's been to Cardiff? Put your hand up if you've been to Cardiff away before. That's a trek. Mick, we fucking nah. Anybody else been to Cardiff before? No, nobody. Yes, one down here. Anybody else? Wow, that's impressive. I've been to Cardiff twice and we've lost 4-0 both times. So that was quite impressive. Flew to Bristol on both occasions. Ninian Park once and whatever the new ground is. Lee's shaking his head. Have you played at Cardiff, Lee?
Yeah, in the old stadium. Remember,
I'm
nearly 55 year old. So
well, yeah, we lost 4-0 the first time I went there as well. Was that for Sunderland or for Burnley?
I played for Ipswich. The reserves when I was there. But I can't remember playing for Sunderland there. But again, my memory's not as good as it used to be.
You've been Cardiff, Matt?
Yeah, we lost 4-0 when I went as well. It was the championship relegation season, I think. And Don got sent off. Yeah, good times. Good times. We might lose. You're not going tomorrow, are you? No.
Thankfully not.
I think... what?
No, that was the second time I went, the 4-0, and we lost. I think Mick McCarthy was the manager the first time we lost. I think we either got promoted or got the playoffs, so we did all right generally, but we got done 4-0, definitely. Anyway, I was making some points of what we're going to talk about, and the first thing Lee said when he met us tonight was, so have you given up on the season yet? So put your hands up if you've given up on the season already. I don't believe you. Is that it? There's a few people not putting their hands up there.
I think that was nearly everybody.
Yeah, just about. That's fair enough. What I do want to start with is Lyndon Gooch's social media post. Did everybody see this? Can you sort of suggest if you've seen this or not? No, some people are saying no. Now I feel like somebody needs to get it up and read it out. So basically, and Lyndon Gooch, and we all like Lyndon, don't we? And he's a fan favourite, and he's an adopted Mac and everything. And he's come out and had a go at the transfer strategy of the club and said how some of the younger players like Dan Neil and Dan Ballard, who've been forced to play so many games, are now suddenly expected to be senior players at the club where people like him and others were sold. And he's questioned it, and I don't know if I'm looking for validation, Lee, we've been banging this drum for ages, but when somebody, it's coming from the horse's mouth now, isn't
it? Yeah, I tend to agree with Lyndon. We keep getting rammed down our head, the model, we've got to do the model that these young kids, but yeah, that's great, but you do need some older heads to just lead the way. I mean, I'm looking at the last few games, and we're asking Dan Neil to virtually lead the team. The lad's 22-year-old. I mean, yeah, he's played a few games, but he needs somebody just... And again, Ekwa, you've got Dan Ballard. They're looking for some reassurance that they're doing the right thing, and they're looking across to the dugout. And then you've got Mick Dodds, who's, you know, is an interim manager. He's not even the manager. It just seems to me that I do agree with, you know, banging young and trying to develop and be sustainable as a club. But somewhere along the line, you do need some older heads to guide us through some tough, tough times. And to be fair, like we just said, though, just the wheels have come up since we got rid of Tony Mowbray. Everything just seems to have just come to a grind and halt. And all of a sudden, that good feel factor we've had around the club, where we loved the kids, they just played with abandonment, just went and attacked. Now we've gone to, well, with the Bale situation, and he tried to make us a little bit more harder to beat. Just things have just fell away, and now that we're just, the last home game, I would have paid to leave. I mean, that's how bad it was.
Yeah, I think. I mean, the QPR game was desperate, but I think the age thing's weird. And I think, like anything in football, there's a balance to be had for. Yeah, like you say, it's great because, you know, There's stuff coming through. The looking to the future. They're buying people to develop them. That, yeah, great. But like with Southampton game, we lost 4-2. I think the oldest player in the team was Ballard. He's like 23, 20. Like, I mean, and then the tweeting going on social media to say the youngest team in Football League history or whatever. Yeah, great. But we lost, and that was the sixth defeat in a row. So there has to be something there has to be a compromise on this. There can't be, like, this cannot continue into next season where people are, where they're bringing in people who are 19 years old, and then you're asking Dan Neil to captain the side, and you're asking Ekwar and Ballard to be leaders when they should have, which is what Gooch was saying, they should have somebody like Gooch, like Pritchard, like Danny Barth to learn from, and there's just none of that at all.
It's funny, isn't it, because it's like a matter of opinion, isn't it, where you're like, you've got that, and then so Lyndon Gooch comes out and makes a comment, and then there'll be some people who'll be like, oh well, he's just bitter because he's been binned off and all that. That's fine if you think that. But then obviously the meeting minutes came out from the Red and White Army meeting, and basically Christian Speakman's confirmed what Lyndon Gooch has said, in that he said, oh well, so Lyndon Gooch is criticising the fact that people like Trey Hume, Dan Neil, whoever, have been put in a position where they have to be the senior players. And then Christian Speakman's come out and gone, well, actually, Dan Neil and Trey Hume and Adil Aoushish are actually the senior players.
It's remarkable.
So he's actually right. So they're actually in agreement, but yeah. It's like, it's whether or not you think that's the right thing to do. So it's like a funny situation, really.
Seeing Dan Neil's play 100 games for the club, so he's a senior player there. And it's not about that, Lee. It's not about how many games you played. Now, of course, that helps. But it's a maturity thing, isn't it? Like
it is.
Dan Neil has not got the life experience, and that stuff matters.
I mean, you go around all the teams in the Championship and be the Premier League, wherever you've got your leaders. I mean, leaders, Dan Neil has played 100 games, but generally he's just been eased in a little bit, and he's played a few League One games. But as you go up into the Championship and you're playing against seasoned pros, where he's technically great. I mean, I rate Dan Neil so much. He's a Rolls Royce of a player. He looks great on the ball and stuff. But when the going gets tough, he is looking around. It's that maturity. It's that you've lived it. You've breathed it for 10 years, or even 5, 7, 10 years in the league. And you know what's coming. You know who you are. But Dan Neil's not that. Dan Neil's played games, but he needs support. He needs to look around. The bigger, that's Corey Evans when he comes back. And I think he's been a miss. Pritchard, when we lost Pritchard, I think is a huge miss, because he was a voice. And I remember speaking to him at the stadium like a couple of times. And he's a character. And that's what you need around the dressing room. And again, when it goes wrong, and I think sometimes, you know, back in my day, either on the pitch or in the dressing room, things were said. You know, people got angry. People got upset. You had arguments, and I don't think that happens with Sunderland at the moment, because ultimately I think they're just mostly concentrating on their own game, because they're young lads, and not really being able to be a leader and point people out and criticise people. And that's what good teams do. You're able to do that because your friends, your colleagues, your teammates, and all want to do is win. And you'll accept a criticism from a teammate, and I don't think that happens within that. You know, everybody's too nice, everybody's young, they're trying to learn the way, and I don't think that happens. And that's for me, that was always the best criticism. If it came from a peer, say a Kevin Ball or one of the lads, you know, if it was, you know, Mickey Gray or anybody who give it a shout out, you listened, you understood. You might have a bit of a fight back and grab him by the neck and have a bit of a fight, but you went on the pitch and went, do you know what, I'll tuck that in. I need to up my game, and I don't think that mentality is there at Sunderland at the moment, because they're just too young.
I think, like Neil, I agree. I think Neil's technically one of the best players we've had for years. I think he's brilliant, but you can see him looking around for someone. And obviously, when Evans got injured last season, they didn't replace him. He's still not back. When he got injured last January, he's been out for over a year. And Dan Neil's played. Speakman's come out and said, yeah, Dan Neil's played whatever, how many games, he's a senior player. He's played that many games because of the situation you've put him in. So he's not like, it's not as if he's played 100 games, he's 25, 26 years old. What is he, 21, 22?
And again, he's not learning. So if he had a senior pro who would say, in this situation, Dan, tuck in here, get there, pull it. He's trying to get this.
He is the senior pro.
He is the senior pro, and he's been playing most of his games as the senior pro, 21, 22 year old. That doesn't work.
But it's remarkable that that was referenced, to be honest. That was planned to say, well, I'm going to go into this meeting with the Red and White Army, I'm going to say, actually, we've got loads of players who played loads of games. Dan Neil has played 100 games. It's a terrible, terrible example. And, like, you know what, right? People are listening to this now who want to call us negative. We've just started straight away with all this stuff and we've gone in two-footed. But, like, Lyndon Gooch has prompted us to do this. And it's like, if you're watching Sun at the Minute, I'm sorry. But, like...
How can you say it? But how
we've lost six games and then drawn one. And, like, what else can you say
that Adil Ashish is a senior player when he's played... He was completely frozen out for about 2 months. It's just bizarre. Like, I quite like him. I think like, of the players actually we've brought in, he looks one of the most...
Yeah,
if he was given more games, he would probably actually bring quite a bit to the side. But he just needs to... He needs to play more games because he's, like, not played any English football. He's 21. And again, he's learning. So, he got thrown under the bus after the Ipswich game because he missed a couple of opportunity. He made the foul for the goal for the free kick. So it's a bit like, well, you're saying these are the senior players, but at the same time, people are like kind of digging them out. So it's like a young player who's naive. There's no real. I think the thing that comes out of it, it's like, again, it almost like mirrors the Lyndon Gooch and Speakman comment situation. It's like everything is actually linear, but it seems disjointed at the same time. It's like a really strange thing where you've got this, like, everyone's in agreement that this is the thing that's happening. However, it doesn't work, but we're going to pursue it because that's the thing. It's just a very odd situation.
We've gone in on this a bit early, I'll say. So what I would say is just if anybody wants to challenge us on this, you can come and speak to us and we'll have a conversation about it. And that's not me trying to, like, put people off. Like, I genuinely, like, that's fine. It's all about opinions. And I know people who I'm good friends with who completely disagree with me on the majority of this stuff. That's fine. So the reason we're here tonight is to encourage, because what we don't want to be, you know, we don't want to be shouting into an echo chamber. We want encourage debate. So if anybody does want to come on that and have a chat with us and you feel brave enough, put your hand up and you can come and talk to us.
Cafe furniture, external cafe furniture has been removed from the property, so Stephen will not react aggressively if he is challenged.
So people are either shy or they generally agree with what we're saying anyway. I mean, I'm going to link...
Sorry, Stephen, on that, by the way, the whole thing, if you're here tonight to come and listen to this or whatever, that's a bit sorry and everything. But if you want to come up and... The whole point of this thing that we're doing, Wise Wednesday Social, obviously if you listen to this at home and you're in the area, we'll be doing more of these. These things happen. So this is kind of the first one where we're kind of soft launching it to see what it's like. Come down, get involved. And the people here tonight, if they want to get involved, come up. If you've got a view or opinion on something, let us know what it is. Get involved in the conversation. Because that's what we want to do. So if you're sitting there thinking, I want to get up and say this thing or that thing, get yourself up here and introduce yourself, say this is what I want to say and have a conversation about it.
And you might not feel brave, but honestly, if we say something and you want to build on the point of what we've said or challenge what we've said, please put your hand up and come and speak to us. That's the idea. We want to hear from you. Lee, I want to ask you just about that. Obviously, when you joined Sunderland, you didn't take the normal route. I mean, you were at Ipswich. People might forget that. You did come through the youth ranks. You were at Ipswich, who were a good team at that time as well. But then your career went off track and you ended up playing Sunday League football in Sunderland.
Like I was gambling or...
maybe that's because I know you too well, Lee, now. I don't know. So I've made that assumption, but... The laboured point I'm trying to make is you come into a Sunderland dressing room and you were probably a little bit different in terms of your background, your life experience. How old were you again?
23.
But had worked and stuff, so very different to somebody who maybe just... And how important were the dynamics of the dressing room to you? You can't just have a certain way. Everybody's the same way, can you?
No. Again, if somebody was a certain age, I mean, Terry Butcher was the manager then, and he was player manager, and everybody knows what Terry Butcher was. Everybody's got the iconic picture of him with his blood pouring out of his head and a bandage on. And he was an enormous character. Unfortunately, he wasn't a great manager. But within there, we had Don Goodman, we had Gordon Armstrong, Gary Owers, Anton Rogan. There were some the big characters in there. And I always grew up, looking at some fantastic teams in the 70s where they were kicking lumps out of each other. In terms of where football was then, it was different. I had to see men were men and go against what the culture is now. But the dressing room was a tough place to be. And you did have to grow up quickly. And for me, going from, I was involved with Ipswich, but I was out of the game because I had to finish through my knees. But I got back into the game and I knew that dressing room is a tough place to be. Really, really tough. Because, as I was hinting to before, is if you didn't put it in, if your peers didn't think that you were given 100%, you were dug out. You were dug out in front of everybody. The manager dug you out. Your teammates dug you out. And you had to be strong or you had to fight your corner. And that's at times in the dressing room, there were so many fights. There were so many arguments and stuff. And that's why... But that, in a way, bred harmony, because you got it off your chest there and then. There was hardly any grudges held. Some lads did. But generally, there was no grudges. You just carried on. You understood that we were all there to win the match. And that's why I think it's missing. And I think a few characters in the Sunderland dressing room for them young lads would just help them. Because it's a big miss. It's a huge miss for them.
Were there any players when you went who maybe weren't, like all the players who weren't maybe getting a game or playing, but you still learn from? Because we're going back to the centre-forward thing here, right? And we don't have any in the squad. And it's interesting because Lyndon Gooch, again, going back to what he said, said if Ross Stewart was around, they would have learned from him about the way he conducts himself, done this and that. Yeah. So in a way, these young lads, these young strikers that we've got in who clearly aren't up to scratch, but there's nobody there in the building who they can actually learn from.
Yeah, for me, Terry Butcher, I was his first sign of Terry Butcher, and then soon after they signed Mick Harford, who for me was one of the best.
And Mick Harford never really worked out for Sunderland as a signing, but yet if you listen to like podcasts and stuff now, everybody talks about how great he was.
He was superb.
Alex Ferguson even said in his book he wanted to sign him for Manchester United at one point, but he couldn't get a bid accepted. So he was capped for England, and he was a Sunderland lad. And although that move didn't work out, I think what you're going to say now is it's more than that.
So for me, I watch him here, and at first I was getting frustrated for him because the tactics that we're using, we weren't getting the ball in the box. Especially the Norwich game, we pair with two inverted wingers, so all they want to do was cut inside instead of getting down the line and putting crosses in, because we're seeing him here in the pre-season and he was scoring headers. He looked strong. I thought, decent. And all of a sudden, we're just not putting the balls in the box. But for me, when I watched Mick Harford train, and again, we used to, coaching, we get people going down the line and stuff, and he would be showing me, pull on the shoulder, all that sort of stuff. It would be little bits. I've been playing the game since I've been a kid, and I've new centre forward. But there's just nuances around about what Mick used to do. Pull on the back. Look, this is where you need to be. Come across the ball. Yeah. But Hamia, for me, hasn't got that. As well as that is, he's not aggressive enough. There's all other things he can do. If the ball's not coming in the box, he's got it. I mean, he's 6'3", 6'4". He looks a physical lad, but he does not. And I don't know if anybody's telling him. Because I look on the coaching staff. There's no strikers on there. There's nobody telling them to back him.
A bit harsh on Michael Proctor.
Well, he was a left-sided striker.
Our Michael Proctor.
If you listen to Michael,
he won't be. You're having a go.
But Hamir, that's what he needs to be. In this championship division, he needs to be stronger. He needs to scare a few. I mean, literally needs. I mean, you looked at how Luton got up last year. They just had two big lumps up front and they were aggressive. They got the ball in the box and that's what he needs. But again, I think the coaching staff need to get Sunderland, especially we haven't got Clark and we haven't got Roberts. You need to play a different way. And for me, Sunderland have been inept, really, at trying to change the way we play by just sticking it in the box and let's see.
Do you think that... it's funny because over the years, wise men say we're kind of used to do like a kind of... Whenever it went wrong, it was like... Whenever it went wrong, it goes wrong most of the time. But it was like 4-4-2, kids in. It was like... But now the kids are literally in. So there's no other kids.
Well, the kids...
So it's like... But it's funny, isn't it? Because usually you'd think like... somebody like Ahemia or whoever would have to earn the right to get in that team. But and there's nobody beyond them for them to push past. So it's almost like, well, I'm going to play anyway. We have to play that player.
The under 20, was it the under 21s had an older average age than the first team? Like, it doesn't make any sense in any sort of footballing way, this. I think you were saying, like, you were talking before about McArford, like, might not have worked out and... But that sort of signing happens at the top, like Man City do it with the goalkeepers, and they've won the league on, you know, numerous occasions, and the goalkeepers come out and thanked Richard Wright, Stuart Taylor, Scott Carson, who are never going to play for Manchester City, but they've been around. And
there's a few,
like,
so Paul McShane.
Huddleston plays
Tom
for
Huddleston
Manchester United under 21s.
Called a Man United under 21s or under 23s to...
To bring them on.
To bring them on, yeah.
Scored the winner in the derby.
To show them certain things. I'm not going like...
Bring
all
back
like
McShane is what you're saying. Yeah.
I bring my Paul McShane, that's what I'm saying, yeah. But it's interesting, isn't it, that a team feel... An under-23s team or an under-21s team of a level of Manchester United feels the need to bring in senior players to support that group to get the best out of them.
And pay them a wage to, like... have that role.
But our first team doesn't need that. It's like a very... It's very odd to me. Like, if you're into it, that's great. I mean, you know, Hamir might be good in 4 years' time.
Yeah. We're like a broken record. I'm sorry, we're saying it again. When you're saying, like, oh, Hamir might be good in 4 years, he'll only be good in 4 years if he's playing. Because if he's not playing...
He needs to develop. And that's sometimes, again, that doesn't mean the first team. And the other point is, there's got no, we've got four strikers. I mean, Burstow's the same. You know, he's a nice player to have. He's got a bit of technical, but he ain't going to put himself about. He ain't championship. He ain't going to hold the ball up for us. And that's... And again, for me, is... You know, if you are playing without Roberts and Clark, you need to change the way we play. And that, to me, has been... Especially when I watched the Norwich game, I thought, yeah, that was when I wanted to... I got frustrated with McDodds. I mean, I like McDodds. I like who he is and stuff. But if I got the chance to ask him one question, I would have just said, why did we not get the ball in the box?
So what is the plan B then? And so if you haven't got Clark and Roberts, what's our... With the players we've got, what's our... I know you're saying get the ball in the box, but like, what is our plan B without Clark and Roberts, in your opinion?
And if that would be, so you got Abdullah Bar on one side, and we had, I can't remember, we had on the other side, against Mundell. And they played them inverted. So all the time, you're just going to be cutting inside, and they're looking just to play to his feet. And to me, you know, like I just said, pre-season, I mean, he was good in the air. So why don't we go a little bit more route one? You know, we don't have to keep passing it out. So there's always a saying in professional football, you've got to earn the right to play football. You can't... The teams just don't give it to you. We've seen it now when we're trying to pass it out, and teams will press hard, press high to try to get us out of our rhythm. So sometimes Patterson used to just say, do you know what? Let's get out. Let's go along. Let's pick up the second ball. Let's get it wide. Let's get it in. As soon as you do that, teams will then start to sit off because they just think, do you know what? This is the way they're playing. And then you get the space to play, and then you can mix it up. But at the minute, we are just one dimensional. It's just like, get the ball in the six-yard box, out it comes, pass, 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 pass. And we haven't 30, 40 passes. We haven't even passed the halfway line. And that, to me, is not progressive. And I watch him here, and he's just wandering around. He's not even part. He's not even in the game. But having said that, he needs to do better himself. He needs to, when the ball does come up, he needs to throw himself, and he needs to back in. He needs to be more aggressive. I mean, all I've seen against QPR is he chased the goalkeeper down a couple of times. I mean, Jesus. Yeah, he needs to knock a few people about.
Very negatively.
You're saying about earning the right, though. Hamia's got... I know what you're saying about, from a tactical perspective, well, we could change it and put crosses in. He hasn't... Like, in my opinion, he's not earned the right to just have ball shelled onto his head in the six-yard box. Do you know what I mean? It's like... what he hasn't earned the right to have a load of tap-ins. Do you know what I mean? It's like he's got to do... more. He's got to do something.
Again, I mean, I just get a timidness from him. He just goes around. As a centre forward, generally, unless you're not blessed with unbelievable pace, but if you're a big 6'3", 6'4", the centre halves expect you to mix it. You know, expect you to be aggressive, expect you to run in, expect when he's jumping up, you're bashing into them because it makes them aware and it makes them wary. So when the ball goes wide, they are thinking, he's a big unit, I'm going to get a clatter here. And sometimes they're not quite there. But that's what I'm saying. You've just got to earn that right to be given that respect from the other centre-halves that I'm offering with a big game here. But if it was me in my centre-half head playing against Amir, I'd have a cigar on.
So the lad who, what, I really like him, I can't remember his name now, the lad who came on for QPR half an hour ago, Sinclair Armstrong,
yeah.
So he comes on. He gets in twice. That, now, you can criticise him for his finishing or whatever. He hit the target a couple of times. But, like, as soon as he came on, I was like, this lad's going to cause us bother. He's the same age as Hamia. And he's, like, when we talk about the model, you kind of look at someone like that and go, is he the kind of player we should be looking at and going, well, he's got all the things that would make a good player. Let's bring him here and make him better because we're confident that the setup we have will make him better. Should we be doing that instead of kind of going, well, this lad from Benfica B who scored one goal in 19 games for Benfica B could be good. You know, I think Sinclair Armstrong's only scored about one in 35 games. Yeah. But
Lee's comment was off
if you're there. Confident in your ability to develop footballers, you look at him and go, he's got so much to work with. Should we not be going for, another lad, Tyrese Campbell at Stoke. You look at him and go...
Lee's not his head of that one. He didn't like the first suggestion.
But you look at him and go, the pair of them, you kind of go, well, why aren't we bringing that type of player in, paying a little bit of money for that type of player, bringing them in? They've had games, they've had appearances, they've played a level of football. We are confident with the setup that we have that we can bring them onto a level that
I think we know the
become
answer.
A good player.
I think we know the answer. Can I ask Lee a couple of things while it's in my mind? Sorry. He shook his head at the QPR lad. The QPR lad
is raw and he just runs. He just runs. And you could see with his finishing ability, again, I think we would get frustrated with him quite quickly. He's one of these impact players that you stick on. We need more than that. Whether Tyrese Campbell looks more of a player. But the model that we're in, as I see it now, is we are shopping in the kids, we're shopping in mother care at the moment. If some of you remember mother care, so we're shopping in mother care.
Put your hand up if you can remember mother care.
So at the but the next level again, and what the model is, so just say Clark goes and we sell him for 25-30 foot. Just say it. Yeah, we don't know, but he probably when Clark goes and maybe nails up, and then we can maybe go. That's the next level. So we then move up a level and shop in that. Yeah, well, we're in a place where we're getting maybe players that have played championship games and maybe are of a level of 23, 24. Because at the minute, we've just got kids. And because we've lost Pritchard, because we've lost Corey Evans and a couple of other senior players, the wheels have just completely come off the model.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow-up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.
So you're talking about Hamea, and again, we're not trying to just single out Hamea. This is a wide issue for the strikers Sunderland have available. But these are the opinions of Lee Howie, who played professional football as a striker for Sunderland at this level in the Championship and scored goals. Then he spoke about how easy it would be to defend against Hamea. He played in defence for Sunderland in the Premier League as a professional footballer. So it's not Stephen and Gareth and Matt, okay? Take from somebody who's played the Premier League as a professional footballer, okay? Now, this again, we're not trying to slag off the players we've got there. It's more
his development.
It's the way they're being brought in. And the fact they've got nobody to learn of, what we're saying is, what I want to know, Lee, is at the minute they just seem to be rotating strike after strike after striker because they're not good. None of them are good enough. It's not working. They almost seem to be thinking, well, somebody's eventually going to do well, so we'll keep trying. Who's the best in your opinion? Because we've always said, actually, I don't know what you think, because you might just shoot me down here. I think Joe Bellingham is a better striker than any of the others we've got here, and he's not even a striker, technically. What do you think?
No, I agree.
There you go. He agrees. Validation. Pod over.
So I've talked to Joe afterwards, and he'll do a job, but that's not where he wants to be. So you're playing, again, you know, he's playing the position he doesn't want to play. So, yeah, as a player, sometimes you'll do a job, but if you're going to be playing, if they're going to say, look, Joe, you're going to have to play there, yeah, to the rest of the season, I'm sure he'll be pissed off. Yeah, and then he's not enjoying his football, so then Joe becomes less good at being a centre forward. You need one of these lads to stand up, and the only one I can see that is anywhere close to doing it is Rusin, because he'll put himself about, he'll have a run around, but again, I think he's not a really proper striker. I think he likes to want to play off the left. We've got Bersko, who likes, he's a definite under 23 player. He's just technical, he just wants to pass the ball, he just wants to look pretty, he just wants to, you know, pass like under 23 footballers. And then you've got Hamea, and again, I'm not digging him out. It's because if there was somebody there who could help him, I'm sure he's got the physique to be able to be a better player. And you didn't go to Benfica if you're a poor player. I just want more from him. But again, that's why I get frustrated at maybe he's been, I suppose, let down by the development and what he's required. He shouldn't be in the team, literally. And like Gareth just says, the only reason he's in his team, there's nobody else, and he's way short.
Hamea's nowhere near good enough to be in the side. And Rusin's a funny one because, like, he does all right, and then he's not in the team the next week, and it's sort of you're just chopping and changing it for the sake of it. And you think, well, with Rusin, you might have something there. I know he's not an out and out centre forward, but he scored against Bury. He's the only one with a couple of goals, and the one against Borough was there was a bit of instinct there, and it was, you know, a decent finish in the end. Job, for me, offers more up front than he does anywhere else, to be honest.
I like Job.
I think technically he's very good, but I think when he's played up front, he's, you know, he scores. Like, I think he offers more there than he does as a 10.
I like his physicality, Job, and in terms of what he does, again, he's a young man. And I think, the more game, he's probably different. The more games he play, I think the better he will become. I think it's just the natural instinct to be. And
normally a player that young wouldn't have as many eyes on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think when he first came, I thought he was outstanding. Then I think he tapered off a little bit, and he's been a bit, you know, he's coming in at 6 or 7 out of 10, generally. But there's a goal in him, and I think, and some bloody good goals as well in him, and he'll get in the box, and he'll head some, and I just think to take him out of the team would make us weaker, because unless there was a Pritchard in there, maybe, I don't know who I would like to replace him with.
Oh, there's absolutely no way I would take Joe Bellingham out of the team, like regardless of whether the debate is whether he should be up front or not, like, and that probably says a lot about where we are. I mean, when you were in the squad and Mickey Bridges come through, for example, he was older than Bellingham is now before anybody had even heard of him, and he had a couple of substitute appearances. That's did really saying. Well he just, and he Bellingham's did, already yeah. had all these games yeah. before that yeah. and he is subject to criticism now because we've got nothing else.
It was like Craig Russell, you know, you come through, and then with the days where, you know, you were outstanding as a youth team, and the reserves, and you got running. If you were 18 or 19, but you didn't just, you might have a run of 2 or 3 games, and you were out. Yeah, you were rested. You went back to the reserves. You did your time, and then you were back in if there was injuries. The way we are at the moment is these kids are just playing every single game, and that can be good for them. Well, it shows you. I mean, we've gone 6 defeats, 1 draw. That's a team that has just gone for confidence.
Has anybody got any questions they would like to ask, or anything they would like to say?
Come over with the mic.
Yep.
So you don't actually have to get up.
This way. If you could just firstly tell everybody your name, where you're from. Go on, just so our listener, because there's people listening to this, believe it or not.
Ryan.
Yeah, 10% of our listeners from America.
So Ryan got, from Seaburn.
You've got one person listening in America. No, sorry. Go on.
Just while we're on the topic of speaking and all the shitness that's going on, what do you think of the Black Cats bar scandal?
Well, we've said our bit on it, Lee, so I think that's directed at you, because I think we've said and wrote everything we can on it.
Don't you work in there on a match day?
Yes, so I do work there on match days. So
not that day, though.
So the way I understood...
It was your brother that day.
So the way I understood it is,
I like that.
Sunderland wanted to make a load of money by charging the Mags 500 plus for the to get in the Black Cats. It was understood that if we let them in the Black Cats, they would probably graffiti and just make things really, really bad. So they agreed with Newcastle that Newcastle would put up screens, and that was it. Nothing else. So war flags got involved, and this is what it was. Nobody supervised it. Nobody did anything. And then when they knew it was too late, they were just taken. It was took down really, really quick, but the war flags thing, they took photographs straight away. It was brought down. Again, as a PR, it's just so, so bad. But it was just one of them things where they tried the best, obviously, one, to make money. But again, we can all have our opinion. It's an FA Cup game. They're allowed 10% of the 10% or plus, maybe more of the capacity of the stadium alike. So we had to give, and I believe what they did, they said we'll give them 7,000, thinking the police would say, absolutely not, we're not doing that. And the police went, yeah, that's fine. So then they were stuck between a rock and a hard place. It just, I think that period for Sunderland just went, we just had a really, really bad, the Black Cats bar, our performance against Newcastle, I was devastated. We just never even put a tackle in. I don't know what went wrong. That was the most... I mean, what goes offside outside of the football, outside of them lines on a football pitch, I'm not really that bothered. I was bothered about... like when I played against Newcastle, I'd have died on that pitch. Literally. I mean, I threatened to virtually break my brother's leg at the time. And that's what I would have done. but we never even got a tackle in, and that was the most embarrassing or the worst thing I'd say in that period.
Especially then when you're seeing other teams low down, play them, who put an effort
Well, Blackburn
in.
Should have turned them over.
Should have, I respect that you work for the club, Lee. That's categorically not what I heard when I was informed from the Newcastle end weeks before what was happening. Okay. Right, anybody else got anything? Anybody else got anything to say? Yes, hand over there, Gareth.
Phil, that kind of Phil. I'm not going to sing, that's for sure. If Gareth runs, it'll be all right.
There we go. Yeah. All right. I'm Stephen. I live around the corner. question for Lee, really. What you were saying about Job not wanting to play centre forward. So, I mean, in my opinion, Rusin's the best of a bad bunch. But if you are thinking that, that Job's a potential centre forward, you saw his brother score for England the other night. There's a finishing instinct there. He looks like he's got a finishing instinct. Apparently their dad was a top goal scorer at non-league level. You know, if he's playing, he's scoring half a dozen goals from midfield this season. If he's playing next season up front all season and he gets 20 odd goals, he might start to like playing centre forward. I would.
Again, it's, and people didn't realise, is he's doing a job. That's a, to play centre forward. You have to play, generally you have to play centre forward most of your life. You're playing with your back, you're playing with your back to goal nearly all the time. You're playing with two horrible or even three centre halves all over you. And it is difficult to play centre forward, really. So it's not his game, and he's never been there. He's just doing a job. And be it he like it, again, yeah. He will just, how can I put it? Again, so I used to know my job as a centre forward was either to jump up, flick it on, get it on my chest and bring it back to the midfield players and then get it in the box. That's it. It's as simple as that. That's your job. But as a midfield player, as you say, he always tries to get it on the back foot. He's always trying to turn. He's not a centre forward. He's just a midfield player doing a job. But because we're so inept at the top of the field, he just looks better than everybody else.
Anyone else? Someone? Question? Steve's on the toilet. Are we going to have to just do the rest? So what would your solution be then, Lee, for the rest of the season in terms of... Obviously, if you had all the centre-forwards fit, excluding obviously me, Andrew, who's gone to explore his unique opportunity in Hibernian's reserves. So you've got Hamia, Burstow and Russian fit. What are you changing it on a basis of game to game? Or are you just going, he's probably the best one, we'll just bang him in and play him for the rest of the season?
I think I'm going to do what my duds does and just does that when he picks the corner. Just which one? I think, the only I think decision he makes is he looks at training during the week. So he's had them for 2 weeks because of international. So he probably have had the guys there, the players, and he'll just see who's on form. He might do it in a shooting practice and see who scores him the most goals. I mean, it's literally, it's probably as simple and as easy as that because literally none of them have done a decent job. Apart from, as I say, Rusin's been a bit more busy. Hamia been disappointed at because he's not aggressive enough. Burstow just flatters to deceive. He just doesn't do enough for me. So if I was to put one in front of the other, I just think maybe it would have to be Rusin, and I think you just stick with him. Because the way we play, we're not getting the ball in the box, so let's have him in the runs in behind, let him duck and dive, and let me see if he can create a bit of energy. And that's the only way I think we will go at the end of the season.
Well, I mean, they've scored, what, 3 goals between them this season? Like, you know, the centre-forwards, and they've played a lot of games, and Rusin's the only one where, you know, he got the goal against Preston as well, which was a decent finish. Obviously Clark cut it back. Hamia for me should just be not like, he can't be anywhere near, you can't play Hamia now because he just looks so far away from anything. Like Job, obviously you're saying doesn't want to be there. I think he's the best option. Rusin is injured, so Burst, I'd, honestly, what's the point? We might as well just play.
So from
I love how I've got nipped to the toilet and I've come back and we're back to him being shit again. It's what we've done again.
That's going to happen on a weekly basis. with Rusin, though, So you say you're in Russin's position, and you've kind of look. He's not set the world alight, but he's done better. Like I think the bar does get lower every week. Like it's kind of like, well, Hamia made touch the ball 7 times this week. Let's extend his contract. But it's like with Russin, at least he's done something. Is it frustrating? Would it be you know, he scores a few goals and then he's like dropped or rotated out because we decide, well, in this game we need to play Burstow up front, on this game we need to play Mundell up front. That's happened for a reason. For some reason, I don't know why. And that, or we've had to play Bellingham up front. Yeah. So it's like, from Russell's perspective, somebody who's come over, not great, English, all that kind of thing, what must he be thinking where he's like, well, I've got myself a goal, so I've been a bit lively, and then it's like, oh, you dropped, mate. Like, what's the situation there as a professional footballer? What are you thinking?
I mean, again, from a professional footballer, you can only... I do believe he's struggling with his English, and I think that's probably an impact, his family. So, and again, for me, yeah, being a coach as well, and looking at... So, you can only pick the lads that you think is doing it on training and seem to be lively. But he is suffering a little bit. I don't know. His confidence might be down. Yeah, he plays one game. He gets dropped. But he's an international. Yeah, literally, he can play. He knows what he needs to do. And it doesn't matter what you see. Unless your confidence is low, you need to just get out there. You cross that line and you're going, right, you stick your chest out and you say, I'm going to give everything. And that's what and I think that's the thing you do get from Rusin. He will put a shift in. He will run around. He'll put tackles in. The lad can leap as well. I mean, he's got a few weddies. It's surprising. So for me, I just think, if I was Dodds, I'd just put my arm around him and my best Ukrainian say, oh, mate, you're playing. You're playing at the end of the season. And that's it. Just give him that confidence that doesn't matter what happens, he's playing. And maybe that could be the start of something that he just thinks, the manager's got confidence in us and I can play. And I think that's what's needed, because I think he's tried a mirror, that didn't work. Burstow, it just hasn't worked from the start. And again, I do believe that Job's best permission for me is still in that centre midfield.
I think that's his best position, but I think the reason I brought it up was because I think he's better up front than any of the centre forwards we've got. That was what I was saying. I don't think his long term position is going to be a centre forward, but at the minute, as things stand, he's the only person who, when he plays up front, he scores. Because none of the others do that. Gav's telling me move on from here.
No, I'm telling you to wrap it up, mate, forward. It's like we've been on for like 55 minutes and he needs to get home for
55? Have we really? Fucking hell. No, right. Yeah. Has anybody else got anything they want to come and speak to us about? Oh, right. No, okay.
Not him.
Come over here and tell us your name.
I'll go to him.
Tell us your name, where you're from, please.
Yeah, obviously, Mickey.
Tell us your name, yeah.
So, Michael, you might know me as Mickey. I don't know if we've met before. But it's just a question for Lee, really. So, we talk about, obviously, like, Hamia during like pre-season, like, looked quite good. But it was against, like, really low-quality opposition. So, as, like, a former professional, what can the impact be of having, like, a pre-season? It isn't really enough in terms of, like, testing you ahead of a new season.
But again, Mickey... If you're scoring goals, you're scoring goals. I was scoring goals for Plains Farm Club, and then I went and ended up playing for Sunderland and scored goals for Sunderland. It doesn't matter. If the ball comes in the box and you're good in the air and you're aggressive, you attack the ball, that's for me, his only strong point for me is he does attack the ball and he scores headers. But if you're not doing that, again, yeah, if you're not crossing the ball for him, then he's going to struggle. And his other part of his game is just not there. As Matthew says, it's just not there. But if he can get a goal, if somebody put a cross in for him and he scored a goal, you might see his confidence level going up. But at the minute, he is a million miles off from being a championship level centre forward for me. But I sometimes, again, some of the blames with the coach and stuff and how we play, we're not playing to what his strength is, which is heading the ball.
I just don't think he's earned. Like, how can you just be like, oh, well, I'm not having a go at you. It's just like, well, if we've got this absolute...
But he hasn't earned it, I get it. But he's the only one there. So what do we do? So for me, if I'm a manager and I've got this lad, he cannot hold it up. He doesn't really do much. But he's 6'4" and he heads the ball. Let's try to if we can get the ball in the box. That's it. I mean that's how we're trying to see. We have to play it with strength because we don't look dangerous with a machine gun at times, Sunderland. I mean, literally. I mean, the QPR game we had a 50-yard shot off target. That's the best we got. So but there's got to be another way.
So if you're listening, Chris Weatherspoon, please pull together statistics on how many aerial duels that Hamid has won, and then we'll know if he's good in the air as well. And if he's rubbish at that, then we might as well just send him away. So I think we're probably done, aren't we?
Well, he's what on Hamid or
just generally?
It's been a Hamid show.
Poor old Hamid, eh? Just came here for a nice time.
He'll probably start tomorrow. So
he will be starting tomorrow.
He'll be one of them like Lilian Laslandes. Remember him? Who like played Champions League football and scored for everybody wherever he went. And when he played for Sunday, he was shite. This is going to happen, isn't it?
Well, when you watched Transworld Sport, did anyone watch Transworld Sport in the morning on like Channel 4? Lilian Laslandes on Transworld Sport was like unbelievable for Bordeaux, just like score every week. When he signed for Sunderland, I was so excited. This is like pre-internet and everything. So you're like, we've signed Lilian Laslandes.
I've got some mates who were from Sunderland, but they're Celtic fans, and they go to the Celtic game, Sunderland Celtic, and they go up every game. And when we signed Laslandes, I used to drink in the Chesters back in the day, and they would come in, and when we signed him, they were like, he's brilliant. He taught, like, he played the, I think Bordeaux played, yeah, or whoever them, was, played Celtic Park, in the Champions League, and he tore us to bits. You've got a player there. And, like, so we were all, like, buzzing with it. And then he scored against Sheffield Wednesday
in the League Cup. No,
Master said that, did we lump it to what? There's an argument for that because he said that, like, when he turned up, they're just like, threw the ball and thinking he was Niall Quinn, he wasn't. But there's lots of things gone wrong there, isn't there, about like do research into who the players are, what he's good at. He tried to imply Peter Reid was racist, but Peter Reid's very left wing, I think, if you watch his if you view his social media output.
Anyway, we'll cut that bit, Richard.
Yeah. There's no need to cut that.
I didn't say anything remotely controversial there whatsoever.
Yeah. I just said, look at Peter Reid's social media content and output.
Are we done?
I can't believe we've been going that long. I'm sorry we try to like involve every... If you've really got something to say now before we wrap up, put your hand up and come over and tell us that we're talking shite. Yeah, basically we're just... People who come to watch us are people who agree. What we need is...
If you don't agree and you think we're negative and you don't like what we do, come to
one of these next time, and then you can come and tell us.
No, but look, not like a nasty, you know, we're just like normal human beings. Talk about football. So what I would say is obviously this is the first one that we've done. Obviously, if you're listening at home or wherever you are, if you're in America, you're not going to come to this. That's a stretch. But, you know, if you listen at home and you think, oh, I might like to go to the next one, there will be other ones. Come down. Obviously, this has kind of been a bit of a soft launch type thing.
It'll be better
thing.
Next time because Tommy's back.
Well, it won't. It might be. We'll get someone better.
You can both come.
We'll get some of them. Someone better than both of you then. But we'll. You know, if you've listened to this and enjoyed it and thought, I'd quite like to go down to that. Obviously, we'll be promoting, advertising what we're doing more proactively, and. Yeah, we want to try and make it a regular thing, a monthly thing, where people get the opportunity. You know, people challenge us online all the time. People agree with us online all the time. If you want to come down, have a pint and have a chat.
And just try to make, like, articulate what is, like, if you're not here, it's not easy to visualise, but it's not like a live show where we're sitting and then people have seats in front of us. We're just in a pub. So you can sit around and talk and have a bit crack on and then come over and speak to us, and that's all it is. So you just need to turn up at the pub. You don't have to say anything or get involved. But we encourage that as well.
It'll get sleeker as it goes on. This is the first one, you know. But
that's fine. We only had to rely on like one of the wise men say a team once when Mickey came. Apart from that, I was of the people. It's fine. Yeah.
We're done.
I feel like we need to let Lee have the last word in some way. I don't know what on.
Why, Lee? Why?
I tell you what, Lee. Tell us the team you would pick.
Lee's
on,
funny
you know?
Stories. Why don't you let Lee? Right, tell
okay, yeah.
Lee, tell a funny story to see yourself.
Has anybody watched Lee live before?
What, Lee live? Lee Howie live?
A few hands up. Yeah.
I saw him at because Wembley.
You, never,
like.
You know, you've done loads of live stuff with us before, Lee, but you never know your audience, whether you're repeating the same stuff. Come on, give us a Hall of Famer to go out with.
I'll try to keep it quite clean. So,
right, come on. Yeah. Attention, everybody. Hopefully this is a good one.
So we're Charlie Hurley. We're in the prefabs then. We've been the prefabs the same. And Niall Quinn turns up. First year, comes down. And Niall Quinn puts his bag and sits next to me. So we introduce ourselves. I'm like, fucking hell, it's Niall Quinn. You know, this is it. For me, it's just like, I'm trying to keep it clean. I'm sweating, just sweating. Anyway.
You can swear, Lee, it's fine.
So we're just chatting, and I was saying, are you enjoying being here? Since when you turned up? He says, well, I've been here a few days. I've moved to Sedgefield. You know, as everybody knows, he likes the horses. So he had a nice, lovely place and so forth. And he said, where do you live? And I says, I live in an estate called Silksworth. And he said, right. And then it went quiet for a little while. And he went, an estate? He went, I've got two peacocks you can have. And I went, and for quiet for a second, I just went, I looked at him and I went, two peacocks? And I went, no, I live in a council estate called Silksworth, not a fucking estate. And I says, I've got two fucking German shepherds as well that killed the peacocks. But that was my introduction to Niall, thinking I lived in some estate. But yeah, I mean, great times for Niall. I mean, that was when you get these big players turning up and you just think what they're going to be like, is he going to be stuck up and stuff? What a gentleman, what an absolute legend he was for Sunderland Football Club, and still a friend. So that was my first introduction to Quinn.
That's great. And Silks is my neck of the woods now, so that's great. Anyone?
You did see like peacocks knocking around actually in Silksworth near the Poacher's Pocket or whatever it was called. I'm not joking. The Cavalier.
I was going to say, I don't know where the Poacher's Pocket is.
There was literally
Cavalier's gone now. They're putting houses
there. Was literally
just shame.
The house on the bank as you come to the corner had peacocks in it. So maybe he found somebody else in Silksworth. Maybe he turned up and he was like, "Where's are you Lee Howie?" Yeah.
So, well, I'll tell you what, before we go, while we're on the silky thing, because that's my neck of the woods now, and I've heard podcasts, apart from that was Lee, with you and your brother, Steve, who, you know, we'll not go too much into. But didn't he move out with Silky while he was playing for Newcastle? Because people poured, what did they do?
They painted his grass red. He bought the house on Silky, and I liked the house, and I wanted to buy it. And he wouldn't really sell it to us. Well, he tried to sell it to us at top price. So I went and he sold him, and I got it for about 20 grand cheaper. But he'd turn up, and people just paint his grass red and white. Just anything around. Just the postman used to write stuff on his letters. So eventually, he just had to leave. So which was I think ended up moving to Durham.
Because this was like Newcastle's like famous like Keegan era, wasn't it? Yeah. So you'd think he would have clicked on earlier that like maybe living in Silky wasn't the best thing to do.
He was living down behind the university. They built a little estate down there, and he moved in first with his girlfriend there. That kid, and then he just broke in really to the first team squad. So then he moved to Silky, and it wasn't really. I mean, then it took off. You know, he thought he'd get away with just living still in Sunderland, but that just never was going to happen because of what happened, obviously, to Newcastle and how successful, unfortunately. Well, successful as in they win the Premier League, they've won fuck all, so they're part of that.
Yes, what a good place to go out. Right, okay, right, look, we really appreciate you all for coming, and we will be doing this sort of semi-regular, I think. It's been an idea of ours for a while, so thanks to These Things Happen as well for hosting us. And if you haven't been here, come down, check it out. It's on the seafront, Aroca. And thanks everybody for listening. Didn't expect that. I'll take it.